thing is kind of loading up, booting up. I just wanted to take this opportunity. First of all, I'm blessed with several of my school family to be here with me this morning. I'm grateful for that. And I wanted to take the opportunity on behalf of Sarah and I to thank, especially since we have both our church family and our school family here, and it's great that they're one, to thank you guys. As many of you were aware, we were receiving cards and everything. Last Sunday would have been Sarah's due date, and we're grateful for your thoughts and prayers as we got through that time, as we continue to kind of heal as we go through. Now, as was kind of mentioned this morning, and I know some of the teens especially will be kind of disappointed. I'm sorry, I don't have a top of this morning. It's okay. The first part of the lesson this morning, anyways, has humor to it. That's why I didn't do a top 10 lesson. But, for a little humor aside from the top 10 list, as I was going through pictures of mission trips past, and actually just of things past, I came along some pictures, and unfortunately, it's not going to be as good this morning because one of the people's not here. But I just decided I'd start with a picture from the past. And as I start with a picture from the past this morning, back to my younger days, I think I was like 16 then. That day is getting longer and longer ago. But in the picture we had Dave.
You never had hair.
We have me. And after all these years, I didn't realize my other coach was Eric McKissick. I mean, who knew? I always thought it was Jeff. And I started going through the pictures, I was like, Eric? But Eric's not here this morning. I'm sure if he was, he would have gone up and given it a call. All right. Kind of the title of my lesson this morning, if you can come up with a title, is going to be mission-minded. I don't know. It was what I threw down at the beginning when I was creating the PowerPoint. I was like, I'm going to change it at some point because I don't know that I like mission-minded. And it never changed. I just couldn't change it. I like the idea of being mission-minded. I like the double M's at the beginning. I can't help it. There's just something about mission-minded. I knew Jared would too, so it was pretty good. Sorry, next time I'll bring some facts out.
Thanks.
Before we look at some more pictures this morning, I wanted to talk about the fact that we're preparing for summer. Now, in the audience this morning, we have a lot of students, we have a lot of teachers, and we have a nurse, and we have others that work in school buildings, and the preparation for summer is nice, although the gauntlet of getting there has begun. But here we have a preparation for summer as well. One thing that we can think of in preparing for summer is the fact that with it being the 21st now, we're less than a month away from Frosty returning. So keep that in your mind. That's going to kind of really usher in the fact that summer is upon us when we see him walk through the door. And then we have day camps. We have a group. We have groups coming in to work with us. We have TJ's group coming in. And TJ learned well from Dave. Do it as crazy as possible. When school gets out, let's jump on a bus. Because aren't they coming like the day after school or something like that? Then we have a mission trip to Schenectady, New York. For those of you who are going, you might want to start practicing Schenectady. Get all those consonants together, it's going to be fun. It's kind of like our first trip to Wabash when everybody looked at the brochure and were like, Uabachi? What is Uabachi, church? It's Wabash. And then more day camps, regular overnight camp. So much stuff going on in the summer. So the idea of mission-minded came as we prepare for the summer. And it also comes from the fact that our world is in need of hope. Johnny and I were kind of talking as we walked for water yesterday. Now, Johnny and I walked without water. We looked at the jugs of water and we were like, carrying ourselves around is going to be enough of a walk for us. But as we were walking for water, one of the things that Johnny was kind of talking about is the weak. You know, so much happened this week. And you thought at some point, there's going to be a day where something is just calm. But you move from the bombing in Boston, and then you move to the plant in Texas exploding. And then you move to, locally, the wall falling in Hendersonville. And then Friday, you thought, okay, I'm going to get up and it's going to be a normal day. And then you had the manhunt. And you realize that our world is not a perfect place. And we realize now, as always, our world is in need of hope. And in true hope. You know, we throw around the word hope. I hope it rains today. Or I threw this one around a lot around January, February. I hope it snows tonight. Then it never did. But we throw that word around as in hope. It's not something that we're sure is going to happen or not. But the world needs true hope. That brings me to my next idea. Our daily lives are mission filled. We come into contact with people on a daily basis. And that very much means our daily life. And that also means that we have mission activities here. And we have mission activities abroad. And the cool thing is, we see mission activities here turning into mission activities abroad. Jaquan, you did an awesome job this morning with prayer. What I loved about Jaquan's prayer this morning is the fact that it wasn't something that, you know, you could find written down as the Sunday morning prayer guide for the collection. It was from his heart. And that is awesome. That is something when I was your age, I hadn't learned yet. And that brings me to my next. Lessons from mission trips past. I tried to get around to some of you to warn you that this morning is going to be quite embarrassing for some. For others, you're lucky because I'm an old man. And you came along after the time where my pictures would have been there and I didn't have the book from yours. So you might luck out a little bit. We're going to talk about some lessons that I've learned from mission trips past. First of all, a vehicle will very likely have issues. Not just minor issues either. This is a picture of one of our issues. This was in South Carolina, Georgetown, I believe, South Carolina. And we were out in the middle of door knocking. And it was hot. And we were out in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, the bus just boop. And so I think we kind of door knocked that neighborhood. And then we all just sat up underneath a tree and waited and waited and waited. But our problems with vehicles started long before that. When we first started going on mission trips, we took what was called the Smurf van. It's a bright blue van. The ceiling was falling out of it. And we were coming back from a mission trip in Indiana one time. After, I will have you know, Dave's group was late to church. I can't say that we were late for church that night. We missed church, and we got there just in time for the potluck. Because we forgot about the time change. We were playing basketball in Purdue's court. When we left Elizabethtown, Kentucky, it was raining. And I'm not a car genius, but I'm figuring that our alternator was in very bad shape on this van. Because Mr. Judge had to keep the van floored in order to keep the headlights on and the windshield wipers working. If he ever took his foot off the gas, it got really, really dim, and the windshield wiper would go, and then it's here, womp, 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 womp. So we're like, just let us make it home. And then we got the bus, and we thought, all right, no more problems. No, no. We had this incident. We had an incident where we leave, and I think we made it to Bowling Green, Kentucky, on our way to Bowling Green, Ohio, and the air conditioner went out. Oh, like 110 degrees outside, the air conditioner's up. And then, of course, there were more than that, but some of these guys over there will remember this picture. You guys were just outside of Washington, D.C., I believe. You had left Syracuse, New York, gone to New York City, down to Washington, D.C. for the fireworks, and the van dies. And there's a lovely picture afterwards that I've got put on here of Jaquan sitting in the passenger seat. So, vehicles will very likely have issues, and sometimes they will cause problems. One time we were on our way to Louisiana, and they had a fish fry planned for us, and we were on I-40, and we didn't make it very far down I-40, and we arrived like 6 hours late. And so they changed it to a nacho thing, which is where later we have inside jokes, but I'll throw this one out there, where one of our chaperones walks through the line and he goes, nacho glycerin. And none of us had any idea what he was talking about till later. So a vehicle will very likely have issues. The next thing that we have up here. Someone will be lost. Now, Chef, I don't have any pictures from the actual mission trip. We had to throw some up there so, you know, people would go, "Oh, look at what she has." And of course, I had to find another one that at least got Sam in there. Yeah, JJ's in there in the back, peeking his head over the top. Someone will be lost. Jeff is the most well-known lost child, as he was left at Wally World. But other people were lost as well. Most of the rest of us who spent time being lost is because we were dropped off in a neighborhood and said, just wait here until we come back. And then you watch the bus and you're like, it's like way over the, and flies by. And sometimes you're not really lost. Chris and I were not lost one time. They dropped us off at a house and they go, door knock until you get to a stop sign. And we walked miles. And it was miles in between houses and there was no stop sign. And every now and then we'd see Mr. Judge pass by on the cross street on the bus. Like that. But, parents, if you're thinking about sending your child, the good news is now we have like find my, you know, we could pull them up on a computer and find them by their phone. But, oh, there they are. And it's not just Dave. Dave got a hard time for leaving things. Sean and I lost someone in Georgetown, South Carolina. We're driving a van, and we had our kids out. We're knocking. We lost, I believe it was Brian Jackson and TJ. And the reason why we lost them, we were so scared. We were 19, 20 years old. We lost two kids. The reason why we lost them is they got done door knocking, and instead of standing where we told them to, they saw a KFC down the block. And they walked down to KFC and got drinks and everything else, and all of a sudden, I mean, we're driving over, and we see them walking down the street with their cups. And sometimes people get lost because they want to get lost. I won't say anyone else that wants to be lost because that just causes problems. A song will define a trip. Songs define trips all the time. I was talking to John this morning, and he has a different version of the song that defined it for me, but there was one year we went to Fayetteville, Kentucky, and I had eye surgery, so I showed up late, and the song that was defined for me is the fact that I come in, and they had started the Once There Were Three Wandering Jews redneck version. And they were teaching it to the kids in Beattyville, Kentucky. And I walk in there, what they were, they wandering. And the kids were loving it. They're like, woo! So songs define trips. For us, the beginning was defined by the Buffet Boy song, which, as many of us got older, we never stopped going to the buffet. And then that kind of changed over into, at some point on a mission trip, you would have a whole bus rendition of You've Lost That Loving Feeling, with Sean taking the lead. And then some of our more recent ones We had the burn song, complete with dancing. And then the last time I was able to be around the group was in Syracuse, New York a couple years ago. And that was Lovely Day. And you can find some of the guys that were on that trip, and they'll sing Lovely Day for you, because they even broke it down in parts. They had their own parts. Lovely Day. And you just see them driving up the road, and woo! I think they even serenaded a... Did you serenade a...
Toll
booth. So they were having a lovely day after that one. Then, of course, some inside jokes will form. Matt? We just won't touch that. We'll just leave that one alone.
That's
massive. Yeah, if you really want to know, it's not my story to share. The next one is from a couple of years ago, that when the group came to New York. This was a big inside joke. There's nothing like when your church that you're planning is across the street from a strip club. And every day you park to walk into the church building, and at church on Sunday morning, there's the strip club. Although some of our guys really like to get people walking in the door and say, "Hey, come to church," and really, you know, and it was good because you could see the gentleman walking in getting very, very embarrassed as they walked in. I thought that was a good thing, because if one of us older guys said that, they'd probably come over and done something to us. But when you've got one of the teenagers like, "Hey, come on over to church." Or, and I hate to pick on Frosty because he's not here. But I told Courtney I'd drawn a picture of her when she was a baby. We have Elliot, and Elliot was a beast, and the person right here in the middle is Momo, and Momo was a little rambunctious. Momo got in a little bit of trouble, so Momo was pretty well attached to Brandon at all times. Frosty would have to hold his arm and everything else, so when we sat down to do something, Brandon kind of had him in a half shoulder lock, half headlock, holding him in his lap, along with Eric, Momo's brother, who was a snot faucet that week, and I felt so sorry for Brandon because it would just be covering him. Well, those two would always be in Brandon's lap, and Elliot got jealous. So Elliot wanted to sit in Brandon's lap as well. Well, Brandon's leg is out this way, and I look over, and he's got the face of, "I can do this. I can do this. I can make it." And then, right after I took the picture, the next picture I had to take was... Oh, did it go away? Oh, there it is. And then when I got done and I was showing him these pictures, he said, "I thought my hip had separated from the rest of my body." There's nothing like having three children on your lap, especially when... adding all their weight up, they were probably heavier than Brandon was. Now, the next thing that I learned from mission trips, cops can sometimes be involved. Now, this is a blast from the past. Do you remember this?
I can't believe that.
I will say, when this picture happened, I was actually out of the youth group. I was working as an intern. So I was chaperoning this trip. And the young man up front here got in trouble a lot on our mission trip. So he got to be in a special room that night with Dave and I so that we could keep our eyes on him. And of course, TJ was there, and TJ was kind of our mole, the one that was going to give us the inside information. Well, just like on many mission trips, by late in the week, we're exhausted. So one night, Dave and I were out, and about 6 o'clock in the morning, bam, 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 on the door, And Dave looks over at the clock and he sees 6 o'clock. And he's like, quit banging on my door. Go to bed. Get away. Bang, 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 bang. I'm telling you, if I have to get out of this bed, you're going to be in trouble. Bang, bang, bang. And he gets up and Dave is so mad. He throws that door open. And there's the local police department standing at the doorway. And I was like, what did we do? Well, come to find out, we have a picture here of the phone, and it's a very good thing that we do. They had a long cord, and he had taken the phone and gone all the way into the bathroom and spent all night calling random people from the community. Many people are not very happy to be receiving a phone call about 3 o'clock in the morning from someone, and very many of those people called the cops. And they traced the number back to our hotel room, and we got a good morning wake-up call. It's not the only time cops have been involved. Sadly, some of our group, Sean, we're in Indiana, and several of our group decided to break curfew. Brandon Post was one of them. They were out, and they decided instead of staying at the house they were at the time, they were going to walk, and they walked down the street, and they kind of got lost. And Sean and Will, they decided that they were going to see if they could kind of make sure they were okay. Well, they get out there, and they get lost, and Brandon sees a cop car, and he looks over, and he's like, let's go ask the cops for help. It's about midnight, so Brandon goes walking over to the cop and asked for help, and they informed the fine young gentleman that they were all violating curfew at that point in time. And was it Will that smarted off to make things work? No. See, I tried to give you an out. It was Sean. She told the, what'd you tell the lady?
I just asked what the curfew was. She said, go to the library and look it up. Oh. She was real smart to me about it.
And what was your response? So cops can be involved. Next thing that we have up here, Tempers will flare. Perfect. I was flipping through the book and I was like, perfect. Several of us have seen this look from Sean. And the interesting thing is, flipping through is not exactly perfect, but even Keelan was able to see it a few years ago. So it kind of just keeps going and going and going. But when you're around people that long, tempers do flare. People will be tired. You work a lot. Especially early on, maybe we're not 8 hours a day, it'd be really hot outside. People will get tired. Early on in the mission trips, one of Dave's favorite things to do was to go through the bus after people, especially on the drive up or the way home, and take some pictures of them as they were asleep. Nice and out. By the way, Sarah really liked your sideburns.
You meant
it. I did. That's what I told her. She goes, you know you did it. Yeah. They're really cool in the 90s. Now, here is a mission trip veteran. He is able to sleep with one eye open. It happens after, like, people put shaving cream in your hand and make you wipe all over your face. And so, more recent one. Figured you don't remember that picture again. We were driving from Sarah's parents' house to Syracuse, and Sarah looked over in the back seat, and that's what she saw. And we couldn't leave Melissa out. She was hoping we would leave her out.
Is that a Pooh Bear pillow there?
It is a Pooh Bear pillow. Door knocking can be difficult. This is the first trip that we ever took. This was like 19 years ago. When we went to Sumter, South Carolina. Our first trip that we took. That's the Smurf van behind us. This was before you had to punch the gas to get the this trip, myself and Jeremy in the back, were door knocking partners for the first time. It's the first time we'd ever knocked doors. And David instilled into us the importance of the job that we were doing. And Jeremy took his job very seriously. We are door knocking, and we come to this house, and the lady's working in a garden. And Jeremy walks up to her, and he goes, "Hello, ma'am. I'm with the local Church of Christ. I would like to invite you to our gospel meeting." And she goes, "No, thank you. I'm not interested." He goes, "Well, I'll just leave this pamphlet here for you so you can read it later." And she goes, "I don't want the pamphlet. Don't leave it for me." And he said, "I will leave this pamphlet for you." And she goes, "No, you will not." And he goes, "Yes, ma'am, you are taking this pamphlet." And she's digging with her little spade, and she picks that thing up, and she goes, "If you leave that right here..." And he goes, "I'm just going to sit that down right there." And he starts walking away, and she jumps up. I'm like, "Help, help!" But he was convinced that he was going to leave that brochure. And so the next day we kind of had another discussion on if people say no, take no for an answer. And so soon after, since we had about 30,000 brochures for about 8,000 houses, you could see Sean taking stacks of 100 and shoving them in mail slots and then having the person open the door on him. "You're going to take, oh, my hand slipped." We have some more recent ones. You're welcome. This is from a couple of years ago. The danger of door knocking sometimes is having to run across the street in traffic real quick. Now, our door knocking group, and I wanted to show you that certain signs, certain things we do never go out of style. Notice healing here? And if we subtract about 2 decades earlier, we have... relationships with the people that you come into contact with. This girl came every night to everything we did. Preach porn. So you build the relationships. You build the relationships with your peers that you went with. Whether it be through door knocking, whether it be through whatever the VBS, whatever you're doing, you build those relationships. You strengthen your faith. You get on these trips, and you're surrounded by people, and you have a common goal. And mission trips are where I learned that this is not the church. Where you're sitting right now is not the church, and it should never, ever be the church. It is a place where we come to worship. It's something that we do. But the church is wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and it's never stronger than when we're together doing God's will. And that is the power that I learned from mission trips, is that that is what the church looks like. Those times at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, after you've door knocked all day, and you're sitting around, and for our group, it would be that Mr. Judge had stopped by and gotten a gallon of chocolate milk and 2 packages of double stuffed Oreos. And we're all sitting on our air mattresses eating double stuffed, drinking chocolate milk, and just laughing. That's what it's all about. So you're strengthening your faith. I had to throw one in with John. That's John and Roddy, in case you know you want to see him. Oh, yeah. I should have. And Heather's. Where is Heather?
Can
you expand that?
I can't make it there. There's another picture, but I do know where Heather's at. Where are you in that picture?
Look for Jane Brown.
My shirt's
up here. Oh, there you are. I was looking for over here. I thought you would be holding most of the pictures that we have of this age group. Heather is holding Kelsey. I mean, that was Heather's responsibility during mission trips was Kelsey duty. Because all the guys would have Courtney. That's the truth. You never knew. But at this point in time, Kelsey had really not taken up with any of the guys yet. It was Heather. And she just wanted to be with Heather. And then you make memories that last a lifetime. First mission trip, these are the group that stayed around after the rest of us had to leave. This is a couple of years ago, the adult crew, before we're about to go play laser tag. Laser tag is always fun when you're colorblind. Like, go shoot the other team. Alright, I'll shoot everybody.
You won?
And then, of course, we had the one last year from Texas. Now, it wasn't until later when I was looking through you, Kelsey, look at your eyes. The rest of you, I've been very scared in this picture. But you make the memories that last a lifetime. Even now, 19, 20 years later, when we start going back through mission trips, we can laugh, we can have a good time, and things like that. So I wanted to go through my lessons of mission trips past as some of our teens plan to embark on a present mission trip. And as we go through these lessons of mission trips past, I want to close out this morning and talk to you a little bit about what I mean by being mission-minded. Sean shared for us this morning the Great Commission. Oftentimes we get out and we like to isolate ourselves from the world. Because the world is rough. It really is. But we have to remember, we have a call to be out there. We have a call to be out there working. And with that, we are witnesses. And we'll talk about what I mean by witnesses here in a minute. Come up with the idea of this, that especially for our teens, when you first get out there, sharing can be difficult. I already threw up the slide, door knocking can be difficult. You never know what you're going to run into. You will run into some of the best people door knocking. You'll run into some of the craziest people door knocking. I door knocked on a door one time in Bowling Green, Ohio. And the guy yelled, "Open the door!" And I was about 16 years old, and David always told us, do not open a door and go into a house. I'm like, what do I do? He's like, open the door! Great. So open up the door. And staring straight away is about from here to maybe the back row is an open door to a bathroom. And this guy is sitting on the toilet with his door open, and he goes, "What you got there?" With the Bowling Green Church of Christ, Reverend the Gospel leader, he goes, you got a pamphlet there? I said, "Yes, sir." He goes, "Bring it to me." All right, you shut the door now. And I thought that was going to be my worst door. I was like, I can't wait to get back to the bus and tell Dave what happened. Two houses down, I ring the doorbell. And about a 90-year-old woman opens up the door wearing nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I go, she's like, "Hi!" And I'm like, "Ma'am, do you mind getting a robe or something?" And she goes, "Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I just got out of the shower and I heard my doorbell and she put it on." And I was like, "I'll just leave this with you." You never know what is going to happen. You never know what will happen when you knock on a door. So sharing can sometimes be difficult. But one thing to remember when you think about it, as Christians, we have power. Three years ago at the mission trip, I can't remember his name. The guy came and spoke to our group at the gospel meeting from the Inner City Church in Rochester. And his point to our teens was, he's talking a lot to them, he goes, "You know, when you go to school, when you go wherever you are, and people want to mess with you, your attitude should be, why do you want to mess with me? I'm God's child. You don't mess with me. If you're messing with me, you're messing with God." And that's a good thing to think about, is the fact that we have power. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." We have power. Matt Johnson has talked a lot to us his past couple of times about the Holy Spirit. We have power when we go out in these situations. We're witnesses. The idea to remember with witnesses is we're not the judge when we go out to these people. We're not the defense attorney when we go out to these people trying to defend them of their actions or anything. We're witnesses to what God has done for us. And that amazing power of what God has done for us will work through them. Not always will you see the immediate effect, but the time you take to spread God's word will have an effect. So I want to close this morning with summer prep. What can we be doing? Especially for the adults, because a lot of this has been geared more towards our teens. Pray. We have so much going on this summer. Pray. Pray for our success. Pray for our hearts as we plan to reach out to people. Pray for the people's hearts that we will be reaching out to. Pray for the safety of our group as we travel to New York, as we travel to camps, as we travel doing so many different things. Be in prayer for that. The next thing on my list that I have, mentor, train. There's nothing more powerful coming from my experience as a teenager than after our first couple of mission trips, Dave brought in, before we were going to leave to go on another mission trip in the summer, he brought in several of the people that we looked up to in our church, and it kind of broke us off into smaller groups one night and had us practice going to different doors in the building and door knocking. And they would give us different scenarios when they would open the door, and then they would train us as to, okay, this is what you did really well. This is something that you could do in the future that might help you if you're really nervous. Mentor, train. The next thing that's on here, if you can, on any of the things, any of the activities that go on this summer, by all means, chaperone. There's a very good reason why the age group of my guys that are around my age group, there is a very big reason why growing up we were so close to Dave and so close to Mr. Judge. It's because every year they were with us on these mission trips. And they had those times with us, not when we were door knocking necessarily, but those times at night when we were just sitting around. Chaperoning these types of events will get you a deeper bond with the kids, and more importantly, it will give them a deeper bond with you. Because as they grow up, there are going to be times when they need somebody. And it should be their church family. Because unfortunately, so many times, working with teenagers every day, so many times, you can't always depend on them being able to go to their parents. They're busy working, they're not around, different things like that. And sometimes they don't want to go to their parents. They want to go to someone else that they trust, that they lean on from a friend perspective. And the last thing that I have on here is to encourage. Going on one of these trips, going to camp, going to different things like that can be very difficult. Especially for some of the kids leaving home, being away from their family, being away from their brothers and sisters, being away from whatever can be very difficult. When they're gone, it can be very difficult. They can get lonely, different things like that. The great thing that we have now, Dave and I were talking about this yesterday, When we first got on mission trips, when I was growing up, Dave or Mr. Judge would call home, and then Becky and Mrs. Judge would start a phone tree and call all the parents and say, they made it there safe, they made it there safe, they made it there safe. And that was probably the last they heard from us till we got back, or the night before. Now, it's like Dave said yesterday, he knows what happens on the mission trip after everyone else because it's on Facebook. He like pulls it up, he's like, I'm the last to know this, you know? You have so many ways of contacting and getting in touch with them, of just sending them a text message or something like that, or sending them a message on Facebook that says, you are doing amazing work, and I'm praying for you this week. This morning, I know that a lot of what we talked about were experiences that I had growing up. One thing that I want you to have the feeling of, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, is how awesome it really is. How amazing when times in your life, when things are difficult, how amazing it is to have such a huge family that can gather around you and pick you up. How amazing it is when your life is at its best, or you're doing things, how many of them are there to hold you up and to encourage you on to keep going. Beyond that, the hope of heaven. The realization that sin no longer has control over you, because God, through His infinite wisdom, sent His Son so that we would never have to know. As long as we accept Him into our lives, we never have to know what it's like to be separated from God. So if you're here this morning and you haven't made the decision to become a Christian, if you haven't gone to the watery grave of baptism and had your sins washed away, if you haven't had that amazing feeling of what it is to be free from the clutches of Satan, I encourage you to do so. If you're here this morning and you're in pain, you're hurting, there are things going on in your life and you just need help, what better place than to share it with those who you love and who love you? If you have any need this morning, come as John leads us in our invitation song.